How many of you are ready for the message this morning?
Amen.
My wife, she is so excited.
I heard you, but she was so loud I couldn't hear anybody else. That's good. That's good. Well, if you were here with us, Bella, do you have this up? Honey, did I get it put in there correctly? A relationship with Jesus? Got it. All right. We started because I felt as if many of us understood who Jesus was. I felt like many of us in a church understand what religion is. We understand that we're supposed to show up. We understand that we're supposed to read our Bibles. We understand that we're supposed to pray. We understand we're supposed to behave ourselves. We understand all of the religious aspects of church. Whether we practice them or not, we know what they are. We know we have communion services. We know we have Wednesday night programs. We know all of the religious stuff that we're supposed to do. And I think sometimes in this church and in all churches, we tend to make it all about religion and not about a relationship with Jesus. And as I started to think about what is a relationship with Jesus, you hear people say it all the time. I've said it to people many, many times. You need a relationship with Jesus, Billy, but what does that mean? Have you ever sat down and thought about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus? Not religious activity, not stuff you do because you're supposed to, but what does it mean for you personally to have a relationship with Jesus? And to be honest, the answers weren't as easy as I thought they were going to be. It took some real investigation. Not that I didn't know what they were because I'm living them, but because I had never identified some of these things as being part of that relationship. So what you're going to get is my journey in discovering what it means. If we're going to put a definition on a relationship with Jesus, what does that look like and what does that mean? And last week, if you were with us, you know we talked about a relationship has to start somewhere. Someone has to instigate that relationship. Someone has to approach the other person and say, I love you and I want to be with you. And we learned that Jesus initiated that relationship. Jesus already made the first move. He already said, I love you. He already said, I want to be with you. He already said, I want a relationship. So last week we learned that our real job in that is to respond to his advances and to say, yes, I want a relationship with you as well. So that's where it started. If you're going to have a real relationship with Jesus, showing up for church is not where it's at. Reading your Bible is not where it's at. Doing religious stuff and serving in the church, that's not where it's at. The first step is saying yes to Jesus. The first step is saying, yes, Jesus, I want a relationship with you. Forgive me, fill me, save me, redeem me, use me. I'm yours and you're mine. And we're together in this. We're one flesh. Well, today, we're going to talk about getting to know each other. I mean, any relationship's got to be initiated, but just because you meet, just because you say, I like you, I think you're pretty, I want to spend the rest of my life with you, that doesn't mean that you know anything about that person. And how many of you here have you ever engaged in that initial, let's go on a date, or I like you, or I want to be with you, but you found out that the journey takes some time? There's a learning process that goes with it. There's a courting process that goes with it. And I've been married nearly 22 years. And how many of you have been married longer than that? Raise your hand. A lot of you here. You know that process of learning never really stops. I mean, sure, there are things you know about that person, and you knew them years ago. But there's always something new. There's always a new wrinkle. There's always a new level. There's always something more to uncover when you're in a relationship. But if you are in a relationship, you will want to know it all. You want to get to know that person. Keith's like, no. Well, see, the danger in that. I mean, the truth is in marital relationships, we can make jokes for sure. I mean, there are things, I didn't really want to know that. I could have done without that knowledge. But every one of these analogies breaks down at some point. I promise you, you want to know everything there is to know about God. Amen? You want to know everything there is to know about God. But the scary part is when we trade religion for this relationship, we're not really interested in knowing God at all. We just want to do some things so that we feel good about ourselves, and then that's it. Well, I went to church this week, I'm good. I read my Bible today, I'm good. I said my prayer before supper, I'm good. That's not a relationship. And when you trade those religious activities for a relationship, you are missing out on God Himself. You don't get to know God. You don't know who He is. You don't know what He wants. You don't know where He's moving you to. You don't know how He needs you to change to be in a relationship with Him. All you know is religious activity, and that is not going to draw you closer to Him at all. So what I want to do is I'm going to share some gems with you this morning. If you're ready, if you've got your notes, we're going to start with a quote from a book I have read recently. It's by Dale Carnegie. Some of you might have read it. How to Win Friends and Influence People. You ever read it? Anybody? Miss Gloria read it. You ever heard of it? Raise your hand. If you've heard of it but never read it, or never heard of it and never read it, you are in for a bit of a treat unless you're very contrary and you don't want to grow as a human. Okay? I'm going to share some gems with you about building relationships. And the reason I'm sharing this quote about building relationships is because relationships are relationships. It doesn't matter if it's a relationship with God or your wife or a friend or a coworker or a boss or someone in the church. This works for every single relationship, and we're going to tie it in to our relationship with God. You guys ready to go?
Yes, sir.
All right. In the summary that I read, I highlighted some stuff, and I pulled these because I felt they were appropriate. You need to become genuinely interested in other people. I'm going to say that again because some of you didn't get it because you're not interested in what I'm saying right now. You need to become genuinely interested in other people. You have to stop being self-absorbed. You have to stop thinking about what's going on in your life and in your mind. You have to stop thinking of your problems and your issues and your sins and your temptations and your struggles in your relationships. And you have got to stop and say, Billy, if I want a relationship with you, I'm interested in you. Jason, if I want a relationship with you, I'm interested in you. And the beauty of this is when you have two people that want a relationship with one another, ideally, they both are genuinely interested in each other. But this is deceptive because many of us fake being interested in people because we love them, because we don't want to hurt their feelings, because we think socially it's unacceptable to go, you're the most boring person I've ever met in my life. Please shut up. And the only reason you would ever laugh at that is because you've done it before. That's the only reason. Because otherwise you go, what are you talking about? I love talking to everybody. The truth is that a lot of times in a relationship, we fake it. We are not really interested in the other person. And you want to know something? They can tell. They can tell. When you're not interested, I promise you they can tell. Now, some people don't care that you're not interested because they love to talk. You ever met somebody like that? They don't care if you're interested or not. They're going to keep talking for 3-4 hours. You can be yawning, walking away, checking your watch. You can give them all the signals, and they're still going to keep talking because they love talking to you. But they still know that you're not interested. And then regular people, they'll pick up on it fast, and they'll just shut up, and they won't talk to you anymore. They won't call you anymore. They won't come around anymore. They'll just say, you know what? If you're not interested in me, I don't need that relationship. Amen? So the first step in developing a good, healthy relationship with anybody, including God, be genuinely interested in that person. How many of our marriages could improve if we would become genuinely interested in the other person?
Take a look at the next one. Listen attentively to others and encourage them to speak about what?
Their interests.
Number one, I can split that into two things. Listen attentively. That's a thing all in and of itself. Do you know one time I had this minister in my life, and I would go to him for a meeting or counseling, or he would visit or I would visit, whatever the case would be. In any situation, whether it was in a church office or if it was at a restaurant or if it was on the road, it didn't matter where we were. I would start talking and they would start staring at the ceiling, looking off into nowhere. And I'm talking about something serious. And I'm thinking to myself, is there a fly? Is there a wasp? Is something swooping in to kill us? What's going on? Is there a snake dropping down from behind my head? I mean, when I looked at this person, I could tell they weren't interested in anything I had to say. They were doing what they felt they needed to do, listening to me. But their mind was somewhere else. And how many of you think I went to that minister very often with my problems?
Probably not very much,
right? Because they weren't interested. How many of you know you give signals? Listening attentively means that you're focused on the other person. And because you've already taken step one and you're genuinely interested in what they have to say, you really want to know about this topic or this issue or this problem. There's a body language involved here. There's a place that you put yourself that shows the other person they want to hear and they're listening to me right now. How many of our relationships would improve if we started to genuinely care about what other people were saying and listened attentively to them? And they knew it. They could tell. It's important stuff. Relationship building 101. Encourage them to speak about their interests. Do you know I love hearing about your interests? Jamie, what's your favorite hobby when you have time for a hobby? Yeah. He loves to hunt, right? I'm not a hunter. Will, what do you love to do?
Hunt.
You love to hunt, right? A lot of you guys love to hunt. And I listen to you talk about hunting all the time. And I'm interested. I want to know. Do you know the last time I went hunting? With my daddy when I was probably 8 years old. That's how long it's been, Billy. But the thing is if I want to talk to Jamie, I want to hear about what he loves. If I want to talk to Will, I want to hear about what he loves, what's on his heart. If I'm going to be his friend and build a relationship, I want to hear that. And the same goes for them. The same goes for anybody else. Do you want to hear someone else's interests? Or are you that person that hears them in the back of your head, but you're already planning what you're going to say about yourself? Tim, you laughed a little bit. Anybody that's giggling or laughing or turning their head, you've done it before, right? You've listened to somebody, but the whole time you're thinking of what you're going to say because, you know, what you got to say is way more important or way more interesting or whatever. Be genuinely interested in other people. Listen attentively and encourage them to speak about their interests. And then here's a big one, and this is how we're gonna finish the sermon today, so pay close attention to this. Attempt to see things from the other person's perspective and be sympathetic to this viewpoint. You don't have to agree with it, but try to understand it and try to sympathize. You know, if you were in their shoes and if you were in their situation, this goes a long way in building friends and building relationships. And if you think about it, your relationship with God would improve if you did all these things with Him, would it not? If you were genuinely interested in God, that would go a long way in building a relationship with Him. Genuinely interested. Not interested because you're at church today. Not interested because somebody guilted you into reading the Bible. Not interested because your parents are interested and they're talking about it all the time. But like you really wanted to know who God was. You really wanted to know what He wanted from your life. You really wanted to know how He wanted to move in you today. Are you genuinely interested in God? Because if you're going to make a relationship work with a person, you have to do these things. Well, guess what, folks? If you can't do this with God, that relationship's not going to work very well. If you're not interested in who He is and what He wants
and how he wants to interact with you, then you're not going to grow in that relationship. It's not going to be healthy. What if you listened attentively? How many of us are interested in actually listening to what God has to say? Every person in here knows John 3:16. But how many times have you recited it in your head and listened to what he's saying in John 3:16? You know the reason why ministers repeat sermons and repeat scriptures? And maybe after all this time I've been your pastor, you've heard me preach similar sermons 10 times? It's because there are still people who aren't listening. You still don't want to hear from God. You just want to get through the church service. You just want the sermon to be over. You're here. So, Pastor, shut up about all this intimacy. Shut up about all this relationship stuff. Just preach the sermon and clock out. Your paycheck is on the way out the door, right? Just be done with it. But folks, listen. We're not talking about religion or a job. We're talking about a relationship. Be genuinely interested in God and listen attentively to him. And encourage him to speak about himself. He's thinking, man, how am I going to hear from God? I'm going to tell you in just a second. Trust me. I'm building to it. But how many of you go to God and instead of wanting to really hear from him, you want him to validate what you already think is right? You already made your mind up about how to make a decision. You already made your mind up about how you're going to deal with this or deal with that. You already made your mind up about who you're going to be. You don't go to the Word to hear God tell you about himself and what he expects out of this relationship. You go to the Word to be validated. And as soon as the Word doesn't validate what you're looking for, you're not interested in that part of the Bible. Oh, this sermon's not for me, Pastor, today. You know, last week's was real good. But this doesn't apply to my life. I'm telling you right now, folks, every time you read scripture and you hear a pastor or a teacher teach, every single word of that scripture is applicable to your life in some way. Period. There is no exception to the rule. Do you really want to hear from God and about what he cares about, or are you just looking for validation? And then when you're building this relationship with God, do you try to see it his way? Do you try to see it from his perspective? And do you try, because, you know, some of us are hard-headed. I ain't going to call you out. Don't raise your hands. But the folks laughing and smiling, you're probably the hard-headed ones. And I see you. Nobody else can, but I can look out and I see all the people smiling and laughing when I say this stuff. And I know, well, they're struggling with that. They're hard-headed. If you're hard-headed, you're going to have real trouble being sympathetic to God's viewpoint. Like when God says something like, love your enemies, forgive those who persecute you, pray for them, all this stuff. Well, that's Jesus. That's God in the flesh teaching us to be a certain way, like him. And when we preach messages like that, you'd be surprised, shocked even, how many people struggle with that stuff. It's because we're hard-headed, and there are people we don't want to forgive. There are people we don't want to love, and we certainly don't want to pray for them. And if we do, our prayers might sound like this: God, please punish them. They deserve it. You know, something along those lines, right? There's no grace in it. There's no mercy. There's no patience. Yet that's what God wants. That's who he is. So are we really sympathetic to his viewpoint? And I spent so much time there because when we hit the scriptures, you're going to see it unfold, okay? If you want a real relationship with God, it's no different than any other relationship in this regard. You've got to put some work into it. You got to care about what he cares about, be interested in him, listen to him, hear what he has to say, and think about it from his perspective. It'll go a long way. But how do we hear from him? You think this is a message on prayer, but it's not a message on prayer. You know, when I first started preaching, I used to think every Sunday, Larry, that I had to hear from God. And when I meant hear from God, I meant like some supernatural divine intervention where the Spirit of God really just spoke into me this prophetic word. And I went to the church and delivered what God told me while I was asleep in my dreams or something like that. It was a lot like that. I wanted inspiration. What I came to realize the more I studied and grew as a pastor is that God has already spoken. He's spoken through the Word of God.
And before you say to yourself, oh, another sermon on read my Bible,
got it,
checking out already, this is not a sermon about reading your Bible. This is a sermon about building relationship with God. And God speaks to us primarily through His Word. You open up that Bible, and instead of thinking about it as an old history book or a bunch of recordings and sayings from Jesus, you start thinking of that as God speaking to you, then it will take on a whole new dynamic. Opening your Bible won't be just reading that you're supposed to do or have to do or that you hate doing. You'll be going, I'm eager. I can't wait to see. Maybe I didn't understand what he was saying here, but I know I'm going to hit a chapter soon. And I'm going to understand it, and it's going to make sense, and that's how it works. He speaks through His Word. And I'm going to prove that to you with a few scriptures today. If you got your Bibles, you can take a look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. You want to build this relationship with Him? You want to genuinely be interested in what He has to say? You got to know how He's speaking. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom." From where? His mouth come knowledge and understanding. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Take a look at Luke chapter 11, verse 28. It's in your notes. Luke chapter 11, verse 28. It says, "But He said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And what's interesting about this passage is that a woman had jumped up in the middle of Jesus' teaching. And she had said, "Blessed is your mother and the woman that gave birth to you." Like that was supposed to be special. You know, like, ooh, your mom is great because you're a great man and she must have been a great woman. And Jesus called her out a little bit. And this was His exact response directly after this woman said, "Blessed is your mother and the woman that gave birth to you." He says, "More than that." Like, that's important. I'm glad I was born. My mom's married. She's great. God thought she was pure enough to give birth to Jesus Christ. That's amazing. But more important than that, blessed are those who what? Hear the word of God and keep it. Literally what He's saying right there is that you are more blessed than Mother Mary. You are more blessed than my mom. If you are someone who will do what? Hear the word. Hear the word of God and keep it. And take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. I learned this passage when I was teaching Sunday school as a youth pastor in this church. Long before I was the pastor here, we did a series and we learned scriptures and memorized scriptures with the kids. It was when Morgan and Megan were in youth group at the time. And this is one of the ones that we learned, and it's always stuck with me, and I always come back to it because it's so powerful and so deep. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17 says, "All Scripture is what? Inspired by God or God-breathed." It depends if you're in King James, New King James, or NIV. They all read a little different, but they all say the same thing. All Scripture is God-breathed. So when Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom from His mouth," and then in Luke 11:28, it says, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God." And you start saying to yourself, well, how do I hear the word of God? How do I hear the words that are coming out of His mouth? How am I supposed to hear that? Well, right here it says, all Scripture is what? Breathed out of His mouth. It's inspired by God. All the Scripture is God-breathed. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be what, church? Thoroughly equipped for every good work. If you want to have a relationship with God, you have got to get to know Him. You have got to spend time with Him. You have got to listen to Him and be interested in what He's interested in. And it's got to be genuine. You can't fake it. It can't be religious. Because every single word out of that Bible is breathed out by Him. It is literally, Tim, Him speaking to you. Now, you can pray, and amen, we can hear from God when we pray. I believe that.
But there's a far, far easier way to hear from Him. Just open up the Bible and listen and be interested and genuinely soak it up and think of it as God speaking to you.
And as you do that, your relationship with God will grow stronger. And there are many, many benefits. I'm going to share a few of them with you before we move on. Proverbs chapter 2, 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. Do you want to be wise? Well, you're only going to be wise if you listen to the words that are coming out of His mouth. And if we know the words that are coming out of His mouth are recorded in the Bible, and you're not reading the Bible, how are you going to be wise? Well, I already know what I'm doing. You see what I mean about hard-headed people? You don't know everything. You can't possibly be smarter than God. So to assume you don't need to hear from God is to assume you are God. And that is also idolatry, which means you worship yourself. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand before God in judgment and hear Him say, depart from me. I don't want to hear Him say that, Billy. And there's a lot of people still worshiping themselves. And they don't want to hear from God. Not really. And today, if you're that person, I want you to see, if you want this relationship with God, you want to be granted wisdom and knowledge and understanding, you've got to listen to the words that are coming out of His mouth. The second scripture I shared was Luke 11:28. He said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. How could you even quantify what it means to be blessed? How many of you say you're blessed? How would you define it? You could spend months writing down how you're blessed and in all the ways that you're blessed. And what it says right here, if you will listen to His word and you'll be obedient to it, you will be blessed. And I can't even tell you what all that contains, Larry. There's too much. He'll do too much in your life for me to even explain it to you in a sermon, Billy. There's way too much. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Now, the last part, I want to show you what you're getting out of this deal. This relationship's a good, good relationship. 2 Timothy 3:16. We already know that this scripture is God-breathed. This is literally God talking to us, speaking to us through the Word. It's useful for teaching. Unless you know everything there is to know, you still need to learn. This Word that God gives us is good for teaching. Here's two unpopular ones: rebuking and correcting. Billy, you're doing it wrong. Here's the right way. That's rebuking and correcting, and that is what we get from the Word of God. That is what we get when we listen to Him speak and we care about what He's saying and we listen intently to every single bit of it. We sometimes read a scripture and we go, wow, I've been doing it wrong for 20 years. I didn't realize I wasn't supposed to think that way. I didn't realize I weren't supposed to speak that way. I didn't realize that relationship is damaged because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. That's the rebuke. And the correction is when we read how to do it right. And we go, wow, that's amazing. I never thought about it that way. See, I'm sympathetic to God's teaching here. I'm trying to understand it from His perspective. And now I understand what He wants from me, who He is, where His heart is. I need to make some changes. I need to let God change me. That's what's going on in the rebuking and the correcting. And you know what the word righteousness means? It means to be made right. Righteousness is when you are doing all the right things. Now, when it says training in righteousness, Jamie, this isn't talking about the righteousness that comes through Christ. The righteousness that comes through Christ means that He died on the cross and we're forgiven and we're made righteous in God's sight, not because of our works, but because of His grace. Amen? Amen. This righteousness is training in righteousness. It's saying, okay, Miss Kathy, you've been saved by grace, but you got some stuff to learn, girl. Rachel, you got some growing to do. Something has to change and move in your life because you can't be in a relationship with somebody and not change a little bit. Hello? And if you're going to be in a relationship with God Almighty, you're going to change a lot. It's not going to be just a little. It's going to be a lot. Training in righteousness means you become actually more righteous. You do more right things because you've been trained. You've been trained because you've been listening to God through His God-breathed word. And then, when it's time for you to do a work for Him, you're going to be ready. You're going to be prepared. And if you're here this morning and you're saying, well, I'm not really interested in that because I don't want to do anything for Him. Well, you got another really big problem. I'm married to my wife, and sometimes I got to do stuff for her. Amen. That's part of our relationship. How long do you think our relationship would work if every time she asked me to do anything, I said, nope. And I wasn't just joking, right? It was serious. Like, you're going to have to hire somebody. I ain't doing that. Not very long. She knows I'm joking right now, and she's looking at me like she wants to stab me. And she knows I'm joking. That just tells you how it really works. If you're going to be in a relationship with somebody, at some point you're going to have to do something for them. It's no different with God. With God, you are His servant, and He is preparing you for a work, and He's going to ask you to do it. And if you haven't been spending time with Him, you haven't been taught, you haven't been rebuked, you haven't submitted to correction, you haven't been trained in righteousness, then you haven't been prepared. Hello? I don't know about you, but I want to be prepared. I want to have a relationship with God. It means I got to get to know Him. You got to get to know Him. Here's the second part of this. And once again, I just want to point out today, I want to point this out. There's some of you going, there's a second part to this? You've already preached for like a half hour. You must genuinely be interested in other people. You must listen intently, and you must try your best to care about their interests. And I'm not just talking about your pastor. I don't care if you like me. It'd be nice. But if you don't like how I preach, you don't like what I'm saying, if you go home and say, that guy's the most garbage preacher I've ever heard, and he's so boring, he always preaches for an hour and 45 minutes. I'm okay with that. The problem that I do have, though, is that I am preaching the Word of God, which means God is speaking to you this morning as well, through me. And as you get bored with my message, or anyone else's message for that matter, you are not just getting bored with that person. You're getting bored with Almighty God. You're saying, God, this doesn't need a second half. I'm done already, right? I'm done listening to you. Don't be that person today. Second half. Maybe not half. We'll see. In a relationship, growth and change are expected. You know, when I first married my wife, we had some growing pains. And any of you that have ever been married or been in any kind of relationship, you realize, but in particular in a marriage, there are growing pains at first. You think you know everything there is to know about that person, and then you get married and you realize you didn't know anything hardly. You're learning stuff all the time. And there's conflict that ensues. There's a wrestling match that goes on in every relationship, but it's going to last. You're going to fuss. You're going to fight. You're going to have issue. You're going to have to grow and adapt and change, compromise. How many of you have ever heard that? And even some of the most stubborn people in this room have had to make some compromises if you're going to stay in a relationship. It's just the way it works. Well, with God, it's taken up a notch, right? This is not a husband or a wife in the flesh. This is Almighty God. He demands that we're obedient. So it's a little bit different. But when I first got married to my wife, we had some problems. One of the problems is that I grew up pretty spoiled by my mama. How many of you gentlemen were spoiled by your mama? Yeah, my mama cooked. My mama cleaned. My mama made the food I wanted. My mama did all the work around the house. She did absolutely everything. And when I walked into that marriage, my wife had no clue what she was getting. I went in there one day and looked at how she put the groceries up, Larry. And I remember every box was organized from smallest to largest. And all the cans were, you know, together, like green beans with green beans and carrots with carrots. And I don't care about that stuff. I throw stuff in there, literally in a pile. I don't care what it looks like in the cabinet. How many of you know that was a conflict at some point or another? Clean up the kitchen. Clean up the house. You're filthy slob. I don't care, shut up. You know, that kind of stuff. You know, there's a conflict, but you know what? Now, I'll put some groceries up. Now, I'll wash dishes. Now, I'll do some cleaning. Now, I know what makes her happy. Do you know my wife's love language? Not diamonds. It's dishes. She's not a diamond girl, you know? I could buy her a diamond necklace, she'd like it for a minute, and then it'd sit in the jewelry box. I can wash dishes for her every day, Tim, and get that same response. Woo, I can't believe you did these dishes, baby. Oh, I feel so relaxed. I'm sorry, you didn't have to do it. That's a lie, by the way. You didn't have to do it is a lie, but she says it, and I love it. But you got to grow. You got to adapt. You got to change, you know? Something that she's had to grow and adapt to in our marriage is that I'm a big picture thinker. I like relaxing and going on vacations and chilling out. And if it's a day off, I want a day off. My wife's not like that. When we got married, she's moving and shaking and working and busy all the time. And when it's time to take a day off, she doesn't want to take a day off. She wants to take an hour off. Maybe 2 hours, you know, she's really feeling lazy. And then she wants to get busy and do some stuff. And I'm like, it's my day off. I'm sitting right here. Well, there was some conflict until she realized that she needed a break, right? Ooh, I'm on sketchy ground. But I tell you these stories to explain to you that this is not just marriage. This is your relationship with God as well. Listen to this scripture in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, and of joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." When God speaks to us and we listen, He convicts us that change needs to take place. When we really listen to what God's trying to say, we will have no choice but to say, my life has to change. My mind has to change. How I speak and treat people has to change. That only occurs when we're listening. That only occurs when we really want to know what He has to say. Take a look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may do what? Grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." It basically says right here that number one, because you are a newborn baby in Christ, you've got some growing to do. You are compared to a baby, and you got to grow up, and you should what? Desire the pure milk of the word. Desire is not a religious thing. Desire is an emotion. When's the last time you felt a desire for the milk of the word? When's the last time you're just sitting around and go, I got to read me some scripture right now because I desire it. I cannot wait to get in there and see what God has to say. And if you haven't had that ever, I'm telling you, this is the way for your relationship to get strong with God. You've got to pray for that desire and maybe discipline yourself for a while until you find that desire. But you must desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow. Look at the person next to you and say, you need to grow. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how long you've been in the church. I don't care how much you know about the word. And I don't care how stubborn you are. You need to grow today. You need it. It's part of your relationship with God, adapting and changing as you get to know Him better. And then it says, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. In other words, if you've got a relationship with Him already, if you've tasted His grace, if you've been saved, you should desire this. This is something you should want. This is something that you should be eager for, to grow. And then the last passage, and it's a little bit longer, but we're going to read through it today. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Starting with verse 11. It says, "And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." Very quickly, what do all these have in common? They all interact with the Word of God. You can't be an apostle if you're not teaching and preaching the Word of God. You can't be a prophet if you're not delivering the Word of God. You can't be a pastor or a teacher or an evangelist if you're not sharing the Word of God. These all have a function of sharing and teaching and communicating God's word. And some pastors and teachers for the what, church? Equipping of the saints for the work of ministry and for the what? Edifying of the body of Christ. You need to be equipped. You need to be built up. Till we all come to the what? Unity. So you need unity in your faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So you need to know some stuff that you don't know right now to a perfect man. Billy always struggles with this. But there's nothing wrong with having a perfect standard. That's what this is talking about. It's talking about growing towards the perfect standard, the perfect man, to the measure and the stature of the what? Fullness of Christ. All of these people are called to help the church interact with the Word of God, to hear from God, so that they can grow and change and move, so that they can become closer to Jesus and more like Jesus. That's the function. That has to happen in a relationship. The last part is that we should no longer be what? You know, my children get bored easily. Your children ever get bored easily? You guys get bored easily. There are some of you here today, man, you get bored fast. You get bored real fast. And I can tell, you know, I can tell body language and such. But what this scripture is teaching us is that we start as children and we're not supposed to stay there. We're supposed to grow up. And we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, we may what?
Grow up
in all things into him that is the head. Who is that?
Christ.
From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes what, church?
Right.
You see a theme here? Right. Of the body for the what? Edifying of itself in love. It's growth. It's building up. It's changing. It's moving towards Jesus. You can't be in a relationship with God if you are not learning about who he is and communicating with him and hearing from him. And you cannot hear from him and not change. You cannot spend any time with God, not seriously, not genuinely, and not change. If you're here today and you have been a religious person your whole life, but you have never had a relationship with Jesus, red flags should have went off all through this message. You should have went, wow, that's me. That's me. I have never really thought about it like that. I have never really heard from God. I've never really cared what he had to say that much. I have never changed. You believe there are people in churches today that have been going to church for 40 or 50 years and haven't changed hardly anything about who they were when they first started coming? Folks, that should never be. Should never be. A relationship with God should change us. And the only way that we're going to be able to have a good relationship with him is to get to know him better. And the only way to get to know him better is to hear from his word. That's it. It's the only way. Now, as I close, I'm going to ask Jamie to come up this morning. And you might be asking, well, you said in the title here that we're getting to know each other. And all you've really been talking about, Pastor, is getting to know God. Well, for one thing, God already knows everything about you. The Bible, over and over, I looked at scriptures this morning just to test it. Over and over, it says, he knew you before you were even formed in your mother's womb. Over and over, he knew you when you were in your mother's womb. He knew you before you were who you are today, and he knows all about you. He knows every thought, every desire, every temptation, every sin, every love, dislike. He knows every hair on your head and how many there are. He knows everything about you. God doesn't have to get to know you. Hello? He already knows you. Your job is to get to know him. And then here's another part, and this is where the analogy really breaks down, so I have to point this out. Not only does God already know you, but God doesn't have to change for you. See, my wife and I, we've got a compromise. We've got to learn about each other, and as we learn, we have to change and move and adapt and shift. That's a human relationship, and folks, all of us have to do that. But when you're in relationship with God, God never changes. He's not supposed to change to meet us. We are supposed to change and meet up with Him where He is. He offers us forgiveness and grace and says, come on and be with me. And as we get to know Him, we change. If you're here today and you can recognize that you want and need to know God on a deeper level, and that has not been the case, today, ask God to help you take that journey, to start that journey. If you're here today and you've been stubborn and disobedient, ask for forgiveness today and say, God, I'm sorry for trying to run it my way. I want to get to know you and I want to move with you. I want to be one with you today. And if you're here today and you can honestly say that there were red flags that went up all through this message, I want to encourage you to pray about that and ask yourself seriously today, have you really accepted His advance? Really? I preached about that last week, and He made the first move. He died on the cross for you, and He asked you to be with Him, to be saved. But folks, if you're here today and you're telling me that you're saved and you know Jesus and you have a relationship, but you don't genuinely care what He has to say, you don't listen to Him, you don't adapt to Him, you don't learn and grow and move with Him, you're not trying to get closer to Him, I have to ask the question whether or not you really do have a relationship with Him at all. And if you don't have one today, I promise you don't have to leave here without one. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'd love to pray with you. Jamie?